Well, good morning. You know, when you only preach about once a year, oh boy. Hey, I have good news. If you've been born again, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are a child of God. And you've got power. You've got power. Boy, last night, it took a few weeks to just think, okay, Lord, what do you want me to speak tonight? I really want to give something that people can chew on, take home. Wouldn't you know, about 10 o'clock, he changed my format. So we'll just go and we trust the Holy Spirit. Let's pray again. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. All of our hope, all of our trust is in you, Lord, through Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to hear what you are saying to us. Sometimes, Father, we know that what you would say to us may be tough, may be challenging. But Father, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we depend upon you. Father, break us free from the traps that hold us back, from keeping us from being the people that you've called us to be. Father, give us your strength. Give us your hope. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we can be the children of God. We can represent you in your kingdom so that you, our Father, will be proud of us. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, well, let's just get going. I got to follow my notes real good because otherwise I could be a long time. The first time I came here to preach, I had been overseas in Papua New Guinea, and I'd been teaching in the Bible school, and I had 55-minute sessions. So how easy was it for me to change from 55 minutes to give a sermon in 25 or 20 minutes? This poor congregation, when they first took me in and allowed me to preach, man, they probably looked at their clock and say, when is this guy ever going to end? Well, hopefully it won't happen today, but we'll just see. You want to hear a word from the Lord? You want to receive a challenge this morning? I believe the challenge that God is giving me and giving us, we can do it. We can do it. God wants us to be a power, not only in this community, but around the world. I have a question. What do you truly believe in your heart? What do you truly believe about the Lord in your heart? I want to start this morning, and this is where it had me change. I want to give you some testimonies of things that I experienced. My experience on the mission field has taught me, believe the Word. And then, as you believe what is written in the Word, if you believe the examples that have been set us up, then be bold and be strong in faith. And just do as the Holy Spirit would lead you. A lot of times the Holy Spirit will give us ideas. No, I can't do that, Lord. But I want to suggest today that if the Holy Spirit puts something in your heart, He'll verify it. He'll verify it. First time that I'm sitting at East Hill Four Square Church in Gresham, and Jerry Cook was my pastor, and I'm sitting there, and over my mind's eye, as Jerry Cook was saying he was going to go to Papua New Guinea for a mission conference, I saw the letters, you need to go. You need to go. I argued with it. I won't go into all the story right now, but I ended up going. It was something I didn't even think about doing. I was a grocery clerk. I had a Bible degree, okay, so I had some qualification, but I was a grocery clerk at Fred Meyer. I was stocking the shelves at Fred Meyer, and here the Lord says, you need to go. And when I went to Papua New Guinea for the 3 weeks with Jerry and the team, then the Lord says, now you're going to come back. And He put me through a whole bunch of miracles to prove to me, yeah, I called you. But I want to tell you, I'm nothing. I'm just like you, anybody in the audience. God, what He did to me, He will do for you if you have faith and trust Him and are willing. Believe the Word. Be bold, be strong in faith, and just do as the Holy Spirit leads. Now, I want to give you some stories to start. I was in Kainantu. We were in Papua New Guinea from 1977 to 1983. And I was in Kainantu and I was speaking. Basically, what I'm going to say today, according to your faith, so let it be. And I was sharing all the examples in the New Testament where Jesus, people would come to Jesus, Lord, heal us. And Jesus would say, according to your faith, let it be. And they were healed because they believed in him. So I said the sermon and I said, people, what is God saying? According to your faith, go do it. So there's one guy called Abio Lipme. He's probably about 50 years old. He's pudgy like me a little bit. I used to be skinny, you know. But Abio Lipme, he was a little bit older and he's starting to get a little pudgy. But he was, they call him a doctor boy. But he was just a guy who would go into the hospital, to the clinic, and he would clean up messes and take care of patients like that. Well, he heard me speaking. What he heard was the Holy Spirit. That afternoon, he takes off and he goes down to the hospital clinic. And he begins to tell people about Jesus and begin to tell them, you know, you can be healed if you put your faith in Jesus. You know what happened? He cleared out the hospital. Everybody went home. They got healed. And then, in Papua New Guinea, there's another young lady. She was from the Buka area where they're really dark skinned. But it doesn't matter. Susie was a nurse in the hospital there in Kainantu. And she saw this young girl that was brought in. The girl was about 14 or 15, a teenager, but she was a cripple. And so Susie noticed her, went over and went to talk to her and asked her how long she'd been a cripple. She said, well, when I was a little baby, a little girl, I could walk, but a disease or something affected her where she'd been crippled ever since then. So Susie just felt inspired by the Lord, and she began to talk to her about Jesus. Have you ever heard of Jesus? Well, I heard a little bit, but I don't know much about him. And so she told the little girl about Jesus. And then she says, you know, you are sick and you're crippled, but did you know that Jesus can heal you? That's pretty bold, eh? Just go up to say, hey, you know, you're crippled, but Jesus can heal you. So she says, do you want to be healed? And the girl says, yes, I want to be healed. And so Susie laid her hands on her and began to pray for her that she be healed. Well, she didn't see anything happen at the moment. So Susie says, well, I'll be back. And Susie went out into the hospital and did her rounds. I think she said it was about an hour, 2 hours afterwards that Susie came back to look for the girl, and the girl wasn't in her room, but her uncle that had accompanied her from way out in the bush in Papua New Guinea, he was still there. And so she says, where's your niece? And he says, oh, she's out there. Susie went outside and began looking, and here the girl was running up and down the street. Jesus had healed her. Another story from Papua New Guinea was by a lady by the name of Abba Sinto. Now, I met this lady to verify this story. The year before we got there, this happened. And what happened was she got sick. She lived in a place outside what they call Hinganoffi in a village. She got sick and she died. So a message came that day. A messenger was sent out from the village to Pastor John, who lived in Hinganoffi. And he was told that she died. And the people there were showing their traditional things, pulling their hair out, throwing mud and stuff all over themselves. And they would take a knife and cut off a joint of their finger so that the spirits wouldn't come back and haunt them because they didn't show enough grief. And they were starting to do these old traditions again. And John, he said, Lord, I've been telling them that when a saint dies, that they can rejoice, they can be excited about them going to be with Jesus in heaven. And so he took the day and he went out to the village. And in the village, he saw her. She was in a casket. She was all dressed up. She had cotton in her mouth and a coin on her eye in a casket. And he was grieving, and so he began to pray. Hey, Lord, what do I do? How do I change these people? How can we change them from their traditions and their culture? And he prayed, and he prayed all night. Oh, thank you. Prayed all night. Guess what happened? Early the next morning, he heard a creaking in the room. Now, you got to see this. It's a grass hut. made out of poles and woven bamboo, and your beds are woven bamboo, and so the casket's sitting on this bed over here, and she's in it, you know, and she's gone. And he hears a noise in the room. He looks around. It's just her. So he goes back praying again. Then pretty soon, all of a sudden, he hears, "Pastor, what are you doing in my house?" The lady's sitting up in the casket. She had taken the stuff out of her mouth. And he a little jumpy at that time, but he helps her out of the casket. And then he sits down and he asks her, "What happened?" And so she tells a story, and I'll be quick on this, story about her dying, and she's going through the dark tunnel, comes into the light, but in the light is a city with streets of gold that you can see through. The color of Mason Hughes, who was a missionary at the time, Mason had a gold tooth right here, but she says, except it's clear, the gold was clear. And she walked in the city, and there's a big celebration going on. And so she went to where they had the celebration, and food was laid out in this place. Food was all laid out. And so she says, "Oh, okay, I'm going to take my place." And as she did, the person, Jesus, at the head of the table, got up and walked over to her and began to have her conversation, finding out that she had left behind her children. She was concerned about her children because when she died, her husband was out hunting for animals to eat. And she didn't think her husband would take care of the kids good. So Jesus says, "Would you like to go back?" "Well, yes." He says, "Well, good, because I have a mission for you. I want you to go back, and I want you to tell your people what you saw, because they're pulling their hair out. They're ripping their clothes. They're throwing mud on themselves. They're tearing up their gardens. They're cutting off their finger joints. I want you to tell them what you see here, because when you accept Jesus and when you come to me, this is what you get. The big banquet in heaven." So she went back. Diane and I left Papua New Guinea in 1983. And the last village we were in was her village. Somebody had died. And so in contrast to what we had experienced then, previously, when she had died, they were having a celebration. They had laid out food all over the place, and they had invited pastors and churches and other people from the villages to come and enjoy the food with them. And then after they ate, now they're having a funeral for this person. After they ate, this person was a Christian, and they put him in the casket, and they held him on their shoulders, and they began dancing their way down about a half a mile down a road up on top of a hill where they had dug a grave. They had decorated everything. They were singing praises to God. They were rejoicing and dancing, and they had the funeral. The people heard the word, and they believed. Sometimes we have a hard time believing. We have a hard time believing because we're not in the Word enough and we're not with the Lord enough, but they heard the Word and they believed. We had another thing that happened in Papua New Guinea. Juliana, my daughter, was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 at the time, and we were at our first place up in the highlands at Kainan, to a place called Kapagamargi. And I didn't know that anything was wrong with Juliana, but she got a high fever. And next thing I know, as I come in during that day, she's convulsing in her bed, in her room. And I'm going, "Lord, what happened?" Diane says, "Well, she's had a fever. She's sick." And so I took her immediately, and I got to the bathtub. And our water was a tank on top of the roof, and we pumped rainwater from a tank into the house. So we turned on the bathtub, filled it full of water, and I said, "Get me some ice, because she has a high fever." We put her in the bathtub and threw the ice in there to try to get her temperature down. And I'm in a quandary. Oh, Lord, what do we do? My daughter is dying. You know, I have 3 sons. That's great. I love my boys. But my only daughter, here she's dying. And I kept praying, "Lord, what's going on?" And the Lord said to me, "I'm not doing this." "Well, who's doing this?" And immediately what came into my mind was that the spirit of death, Satan, was trying to harm you. Because I had told the Lord, "I'm not going back regardless." And so when I heard that, "I'm not doing this," then I said, "Death, in the name of Jesus, death in the name of Jesus, get off my daughter. And immediately she took a breath. She had been purple. She wasn't breathing. And she took a breath. And that night we had friends come over and she was out there running and playing with the people. Another story, young Francis from Sepik. He was a guy that was a medical student down in Madang. And he had gone home. He was a very strong Christian, had a lot of experiences with the Lord. And as he was going home, he hiked through a village there in the Sepik. And just as he got into the village, they have what they call a three-minute death adder. I almost stepped on one once that had bit him. And the village people saw it, and they all gathered around him as a custom with New Guinea. Oh, he's going to die, he's going to die, you know. And they began looking at him and expected him to fall over dead. Well, he, as a strong Christian, says, hey, the word in the Bible says if you drink any poison, saying it'll not harm you in Mark 16. So he began running around. He says, I want you to know that Jesus will heal me today. He goes running around and he didn't fall over. And then because it was getting dark at the end of the day, he says, I'm hungry. You guys have something to eat. And so they fed him, but they kept watching, expecting him to fall over dead. And then that night he says, I'm sleepy. You got some place for me to sleep. So he spent the night and he slept in the hut in the village. And afterwards, he got up the next morning, went outside and stretched. As he looked, all the people were out there watching, you know, with their big eyes, watching, expecting him to have been dead. And he says, I want to tell you about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, who rose from the dead. That village came to the Lord. And the last story I want to present to you is, when we're in Burma, I was preaching in the church in Tachilik, which is right on the border of Burma and Thailand. And the pastor brought to me a lady who had the big C word. She had cancer. She had been bleeding, like in the story of the Bible, the lady who had been bleeding, and she was going to die. And so he says, Pastor Phil, would you pray? And believe it or not, you know, here I'm supposed to be a big man of faith, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, it's a C word. She's got the big cancer. Oh, man. So I began to pray, okay, Lord, what do I do? My faith is kind of small here. And the Lord said to me, I would not have brought her here unless I want to do something in her and in this church. Trust me. Pray. So I prayed. I laid my hands on her. And I told her, God wants you to be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Well, I didn't see anything happen. How do you know when somebody's healed of cancer? About 3 or 4 weeks later, I'd gone back to Thailand where I was stationed, and I get a phone call from this Burmese pastor, and he says, I want you to come back, and I want you to come and bring your wife and come and stay a few days. We want you to spend the night here. And so we did. And where he took us, about 40 miles deep into Burma from the border, was this lady's house, and we spent the night in her house. She had been healed, totally healed. There's other stories I could share, but I share these because I believe that is the expected thing that's supposed to happen in the kingdom of God. I believe that's what's supposed to be happening among us. And I think too often, because of our culture, everything you hear on the news, Christians are put down. Everything is negative. Nothing is positive. There's no hope. You know, people are depressed. But we have a God who loves us, a God who saved us, a God who's working in us, and he's called us to be his children. And as his children, we represent the kingdom. And I know I struggle with this too, but God is calling us to get on our knees, to come before him, to purify our lives, and get the things out of our lives that's dragging us down, that's hindering us, and be those children. He said, I will never forsake you nor leave you. I will not leave you. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Let me just read my notes, otherwise I'll wander off Gavin. So again, I have good news for you today. The truth and the reality. I'm going to stick my nose in my notes if you don't mind. That way we'll get done quickly. But the truth and the reality is that God, the Creator, exists. He exists. The truth is that he shines his truth and justice on earth, but those in darkness do not like it at all. And that's what we're experiencing today. Excuse me. Truth is that God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, our Savior, and whoever believes is saved. The truth is that when we put our faith in God in Christ, instantly, God in Christ instantly clears up all confusion, anxiety, and fear. When we have problem with anxiety and fear, it's usually because we're kind of been lazy in our walk with the Lord. But we can rejoice that our faith is based on the reality of the true existence of God, of his Lordship in his Son, Jesus Christ. I was sitting, it's been a few years back when Jerry Cook was still alive, and we were in church, and I had just come out of another fundamental church that doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit. And I'm listening to Jerry, and I'm very critical because, you know, we have to make sure he's going by the Word. Every word is exactly what the Word says, you know. And I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit says to me, "Is Jesus Lord of the church?" And I'm going to make this quick because I don't want to spend too much time. "Is Jesus Lord of the church?" And so I says, "Well, the pastor's, you know, the preacher, he's the Lord." He answers me, "Is Jesus Lord of the church?" "Well, the elders, they're Lord of the church." And he keeps asking me, "Is Jesus Lord of the church?" All of a sudden, my mind cleared up, and I begin to realize he's asking me, "Do you really believe in God? Do you really believe that God exists? If he is, then do what he says." Well, I thought I was a pretty good Christian. But the reality of it is sometimes we make him, you know, what's that fairy tale word that says, if I can say, once upon a time in a faraway land. You know, we believe in God, but he's once upon a time in a far... Is he real? Is he real day to day in our life? And to me, as I'm praying, the Lord says, remind the family. Remind them that Jesus is Lord. I am their Father. I am alive and well. Jesus said, as we said before, according to your faith, so it will be to you. And I think he's saying to us, according to your faith. God wants us to build up our faith. We've got to get into the Word. We have to study. We have to begin to pray about it. We need to begin to walk on what little bit he shows us. He takes us step by step into things that happen in our life because he wants the miraculous to happen to us. He wants us to be salt and light. He wants us to touch people. And we're so busy in life, and we're so busy listening to the news and the media and everything else that they just sap us of our faith. They sap us of our strength. They sap us of our will to love other people. According to your faith, so it will be. I believe and am convinced that Jesus is Lord. Do you? Are you convinced? We need to, if we don't feel like we're totally convinced, then maybe we need to get on our knees a little bit more. Maybe I need to get on my knees. Maybe I need to be in the Word a little bit more. If you and I believe and are convinced that Jesus is Lord, then our prayers, our lifestyle, our habits, our words, our habits will change in us and bring to the forefront the miraculous power of God in us. And that's what I begin to see overseas, is people begin to depend and stand on God. Sometimes they didn't have the doctors that they could call upon. They had to depend on the Lord. We've got everything. We got doctors. I got Kaiser, if that's any good. There must be a transition in our thinking. Big word here. A major paradigm shift in our mindset as children of God. You know, Ephesians 4 and 5, again, he calls us children of God. We have all heaven's blessings, but the problem is we've not used hardly any of them. Because the power of God comes forth only as the saints begin to step out and do what the Holy Spirit leads them to do. So, it is a renewing of our mindset as God's kids that results in a changed behavior. This changes our underlying assumptions of our faith. So how? I want to give you basically three things real quickly. One, it necessitates that we be empowered with the Holy Spirit of power, that we walk and be led daily by the Holy Spirit. And I would say today, if you're here and you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit of power with signs following, seek it, if not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Seek it. Get on your face. Had a young girl from, I'm trying to think what island it was, out of Papua New Guinea. She said, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we laid hands and we prayed on her and nothing seemed to happen. And she says, well, what do I do? I said, okay, you go home. And in your closet, in a private place where nobody's around, you get on your knees and you begin to worship God. Worship Him with all your heart. Just pour out, cry, get whatever you need to do. Read Psalms, read the Word, but get close to God and invite Him into your heart. Begin to sing, begin to worship, and you will find as you begin to worship Him that He will come in, because He comes where He's invited. But you got to get everything out of your life, out of the way. Says in Luke 24:48-49, you are witnesses of these things. He tells his disciples, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then in Acts 1:7, when the church, the Holy Spirit had fallen, when you receive power, or before it happens, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit gets us excited about the Word. We want to eat the Word. And the other thing, He gets us excited about Jesus. And when we go outside, sometimes we just can't help our mouth. And we just seem to find people different places, and we just got to share about Jesus. And then the other scripture that I have is Matthew 28. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. What did He command them? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get filled. Take my teachings. Take the Word. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to exhort us. How are you doing in spending time alone with the Lord? I need it. I need more. Too often I get stuck on the boob tube TV. You know, I need to spend time with Jesus and let Him talk to me. I need to spend time taking a walk with Jesus and let Him talk to me. Who knows who He may bring in my way. Secondly, filled with the Holy Spirit, we love deeply and with compassion. I got to see what time it is so I don't talk too long. Number two, filled with the Holy Spirit, we love deeply with compassion. What's important is, and this is us, we're God's kids, to have the Father's heart is to care about those around you. In 1 John 4, the beloved disciple said, loved ones, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. See, one thing I've learned is when people do bad to me, it's because they got something wrong. If they knew me, they'd love me, right? I hope. But the thing is, if they don't, they have a problem. And that's why I'm here. I'm a sent one. You're a sent one. And so when people do bad things to me, this is an opportunity for you as a child of God to begin to bring life to them. Bring forgiveness. Find out what's going on in their life. How can I help you? Look at the next verse. Dear friends, since God loved us, sorry about that. Since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. You see, sometimes love is missing. Even as a pastor, as a minister, I've had to say, sometimes I get tired, I get worn out, things happen, and I don't have feel a lot of love for people. But you know what? We can stop and we can say, Father, would you fill me with your love? Can you give me your heart? It says in Romans 5:5, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. See, we can love. And if you're having a hard time, ask God to give you the love, especially if you've been hurt by someone that you despise because they have been wicked to you. Number three, here's how. As we walk according to the Father's will, our faith and confidence is built up, enabling mighty works to flow from us. And in John, 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. And then another verse is Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. Sometimes I get frustrated. Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? Why did this happen? And sometimes what we need to do is say, Lord, what is your will? I find now that when people come for me to prayer, what I have to do is say, okay, Lord, what's going on here? They want prayer. And if I were just a nice guy, I'd pray whatever they ask. But what is happening? That's why we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, discernment of spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. As the Lord feeds us information, we have to be still and say, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? And then he begins to show us. And more often than not, if we're quiet, not nervous, sit still, listen, take some time, then the Lord will speak to our heart and tell us exactly what to do for that person. Listen to this. This is why it is extremely important to be immersed in the Word of God in order to know his will, to believe it and to walk in it. If you're not immersed, and this is a crime, I think most of us have crime, this is a fault, is that we're not in the Word enough and we don't meditate, we don't pray enough over it. You want to be used by God? Anybody want to be used by God? Well, there's a few of you. How about the rest of you? Thank you. We need to spend time in the Word and time in prayer so that we will have the conviction and faith. So when he calls us, we're not afraid. It's okay. Well, my God can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, again, remember, said, according to your faith, it will be done. See, Jesus has given us the pattern that we're to follow, the pattern of boldness. And I can go through these. I'm going to skip through some of them to shorten the time down. But I believe as we study the life of Jesus, what he's saying to his disciples, he's trying to disciple them. He's trying to mentor them. He's trying to teach them of how they should minister. And it says, the minister in his power requires faith, unashamed boldness, and guts. As I mentioned before, if you never step out to do it, you'll never see the miracle. The lady that had the cancer, I got to tell you, I about froze up. Oh, she's got cancer? Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And I just had to stop and say, okay, Lord, what are you doing here? What do you want me to do? And he says, I would not have asked her here if I wasn't going to do something. Okay. Then I know what that means, because we know the Father's heart. We know his word. So in the name of Jesus, be healed. And she was healed. It's our humanness and it's our culture that keeps pounding us and weakening us. Bold faith in Jesus makes God's work happen. Jesus taught his disciples by his example, according to their faith. I could go through the scripture, another one where the two blind men followed him, and Jesus says, according to your faith, it'll be done. And they believed and they were healed. They could see. By faith in Jesus, a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touched him in faith and she was healed. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity who was not a Jew, she came and asked for healing for her daughter. And Jesus says, hey, I came for the Jews, the children of God. She says, hey, even the dogs at the table get the crumbs. And she says, by your faith, you're healed. The challenge. I want to get my last words. I just want to share and finish this. Is the challenge for you and I. You and I are on a divine appointment. Have you ever seen yourself that way? Do you realize that when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're adopted into the family? Now you are on a divine appointment. You're a child of God. Say it with me. I am a child of God. Again, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And He gives me what I need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If Bobby and Littman can hear that word, and then he goes out and Susie goes out and they begin to lay hands on the sick and they recover, are they any better than you? But we got to walk in the will of God. We got to be in the Word. We got to pray. Father, what are you doing here? We have to be willing to be used. God is looking for obedient, willing hearts wanting to be used. Do you want to be used? You don't need a degree in Bible. He just wants to use you. You just need to be led by God and know His Word, His will, His purposes. And God uses anyone. He used me, a grocery clerk. We are children of God. We have His Holy Spirit. We have His power. And sometimes we feel like we don't. But I want to tell you, you are the light. Say, I am the light. I am salt. You may not believe it because you may have sin in your life. Well, get it right. Get it right. Turn off the TV. Quit doing the other thing. I love fishing. I'm a fisherman. But sometimes it took me to go to New Guinea to break my habit of being a steelhead fisherman. And sometimes we got to break our habits. Are you willing? One step at a time. You can do what the Father tells you. So, how do I want to do this? I want to give an altar call. But I just want those that really God is speaking to them to do something. Let's everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, what do you want to say to them right now? These are your children and they've been listening. What do you want to say to them? You that are here today, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you want to be part of what God is doing. Raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand and say, I want to be a Christian today. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. Is there someone today? Okay, we got all saints today, huh? Then there's some of you here that says, you know, I feel unfulfilled in my walk with Jesus. I feel like there's other things that I should do. I need to sort my life out and make it more available for God. If that's you, raise your hand. Yeah, I see that. I see that. I see that. Yeah, I see that. I want to be more used by God. Yeah. And then the last question I want to ask, that you don't know if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You haven't seen the fruits of the Spirit in your life, but you want to change that. You've been a Christian, but you want to be more powerful for God. You want to be filled with the Spirit. Just raise your hand right now. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Yes, I see those hands. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Okay, let's stand. Stand and grab a hand next to you. And as you grab a hand of the person next to you, I want you to sense that we're family. We're in this together. We're not alone. That's why we meet together at church, because we're family. We got to be here to help each other. We got to pray for each other. Too often we just come sit in a pew and go home, but we need to find out about our brother. How are you doing? Can I pray for you? You know, maybe invite him home for dinner with you. But let's together as family, let's pray together for each other. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you touch us? Father, in the name of Jesus, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you give us your mind? Father, in the name of Jesus, would you give us your heart? Father, in the name of Jesus, would you change us? Make us a people of light. Make us a salt. And Father, give us an sensitivity to those around us. Father, in Jesus' name, give us sensitivity and also the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom of what we should do, if anything. Glorify your name in us, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, go in his power. Go. Remember that you're a child of God. And be looking for those that God may want you to touch. God bless you.